And that show on that followed, or a show that's on this summer, it's like.
Fucking.
Wow, Billy in the back just
grabbed the mic right out of your hand.
Good afternoon, gamblers.
Tony!
Good afternoon.
This is Bro 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 Bets, a podcast for degenerates by degenerates. You can listen to us on anywhere that you listen to podcasts. You can subscribe, rate, to review on all those podcasts. You can follow all of our bets on myaction.app/BroBroBroBets or on Twitter at BroBroBroBets.
Yeah. You guys got us in the top 100.
How about that?
Of all sports podcasts.
Saw that yesterday. Right.
Top one in your programs. Sorry. Top 100 in your programs. Number one in your hearts.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take that.
That is Bro Bro Bret's podcast.
In all of sports. Number one in sports gambling.
Correct.
Everybody knows that.
Well said, Todd.
Yeah.
Yes. All of sports versus sports gambling. Yeah, but in a few years, and we're going to talk to a guy today about it, sports gambling is going to be sports.
Yeah.
Very, very soon.
Absolutely.
Very, very soon. We do have a guest today. Later in the show.
Very special guest.
Very special guest.
VIP from Vegas.
VIP from Vegas. One of the originals from Vegas. Man with a lot of knowledge is coming on later.
From your neck of the woods, too, Tony. Your neck of the woods and a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Yeah, as you should be. As anyone with their right mind would be. what, Todd?
No, I agree. I agree. Totally.
Todd actually responded with
is Jesus. Yeah.
On the field. All right, so we had another winning night last night. Congratulations to you guys. I mean, a lot of us maybe have carried the load last night.
You think?
Some of us didn't. Jeffrey.
Wow.
You're not doing too. So we start every episode with the right side. We go over last night's bets, and so you can see and you could tell possibly who in the office, who in this room between me, Todd McComas, and Jeffrey Gorman is kind of riding the hot hand.
I know who it is.
Who is it?
Looking at him.
Todd McComas?
Oh, yeah?
Well, let's run through these bets.
I don't know.
Let's see here. The under 7.5 in San Francisco, Atlanta.
Okay, well,
why is that in there, Todd?
Hold on.
I feel like Atlanta and San Francisco, you couldn't trust Schmarza.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, it's still on my app here as a bet that we put in.
Tony, Yeah. Okay, Todd did have, you know, his... When I said I wanted the over-under at 7.5, I mean, when I said under 7.5, I was betting against Vegas, not against these two teams. Okay? That's what I said. I thought it would be a low number because it started as a low number, and I thought they were going to do. Todd McComas laughed at me, I think called me blank and crazy, and then laughed at me again. I just shrugged my shoulders, and I said, very proudly, we'll see, McComas. And we did.
Yeah, you just can't trust Jeffrey the Shark Schmarzer.
What happened?
Well, it just, I mean,
Atlanta went off. Atlanta went off just like we said they would.
Yeah.
Atlanta first five minus 140. That was a victory for us. We had a rain out in Twins LLLAA.
No win, no loss.
No win, no loss. I assume that might be a pick later. You know what? Good for you on this one, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Over 8.5, Houston and the White Sox. You said Houston would do it themselves.
By themselves.
That was not correct, but that doesn't matter.
Who cares?
The White Sox scored.
The White Sox did it themselves. By themselves.
Nine runs. Thank you, boys.
Who cares how you got there? You won.
I know. Hey, the scenery is beautiful here in Winterville.
I don't have the stat off the top of my head, but something to look at for your gamblers if you got some time there and you're sitting at your desk. The Chicago White Sox splits on night game versus day game. I think they're like 5-15 during the day. And then like 15-5 at night.
They're night owls.
So something. They're night owls. Something to look at for the Chicago White Sox.
Okay.
Under first five, Detroit, Miami. Should have been 2 days in a row, but it was just yesterday for Todd. The Yankees run line from old Tony touchdowns. Arizona plus 121. Who had that one?
That would be me, boys. Oh, I told you. You know, at 2-2, I didn't win. I didn't lose. Why are you hammering me like this? It was a bad pick. San Diego minus 135.
Listen,
Come on.
I'm just going over what was on here.
You're terrible.
I mean, the only one that Todd and I lost that I'm looking at here is the under first five, 3.5, Milwaukee and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And we were on the right side. Zach Davies' first game all year that it went over. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Luis Castillo has been the best first five pitcher in the league.
Right side.
So you can't put us on that one.
Yep.
Okay, Jeff?
That's not our fault.
I actually do see another loser here. Texas over Seattle. We had Seattle. Who had Seattle? Was that you?
I had Seattle.
That was Jeffrey.
No, it was not.
It was Todd.
Definitely
me. Quit burying me over there, Tony.
It was Todd. Which I thought we made a rule not to take Seattle on the show, but apparently.
Evidently for good reason.
Apparently not. 1-0 was tough.
I was really feeling that one, but goddamn, 1-0.
And then I had Oakland first five against Cleveland. 5-0 was that little game there.
Nice.
So
nice.
Not a bad little day. Nice. Yeah. We were in the positive. Anytime you're in the green, it's a good day gambling. So that's going to take us right into our... what?
Excuse me, Tony.
Oh, sorry.
I like to hit the air brakes every now and again.
It wasn't in a cup of coffee
down.
A day parlay. Go ahead.
But the MLS pick with the Vancouver Whitecaps...
It was a winner.
...tying the New York Red Bulls because of their past history.
Spot on.
Last 4 years. 2-2 final. You took those Whitecaps plus a goal. Boom.
Good
there
for you.
Go. I'm a you soccer
I'm
guy.
Gonna, I'm going to give you
Todd,
credit
I'm a soccer
credit
guy.
Is due.
What can I say?
An incredible pick. You said they're going to tie, and they fucking tied spot on. You know, maybe stick to footy.
I got to call Gump Cathcart for that.
All right. So that goes into our best bets. Remember, we are in the race for the D-Gen of the week. We all currently stand at 3-1 so far this week.
Okay.
So the race is tight. Last week, I think we were all 0-3. Nope, Todd was 1-2. But this week, completely different story. 3-1, we all are.
Let's keep rolling.
Todd got rained out last night, so we went with his second best bet, which was the Miami and Detroit under.
Correct.
Gorms, what did you have last night as your best bet? Let me look here.
My very best bet.
Oh, last night last was the night under 7.5. That
was
didn't
the
work
under
out.
7.5.
But
yeah.
Did you win that one? I don't remember.
That's
Todd.
It's been a long show. I don't remember if you won that.
I don't think you
bet.
Did.
I'm calling your superiors.
All right, so we're all 3-1
bullied here
going into this Thursday. This is the last day, boys. This is
Let's go.
The
Let's
last go. Day. I had an idea what Todd was going to take for his best bet, which I wanted to take. Which I think is going to come back and bite me in the ass as far as rankings go tomorrow.
Maybe, maybe not.
But since you got rained out last night, Gorms lost, and I won, I'm going to go first.
There you go,
Tony. Do it.
I am going to take the Battle in Buckos. Okay?
Really?
Yep. Money
Colorado,
line.
Colorado, huh?
Yeah, money line against Colorado. First five. Let's be clear there, first five. The Buccos bullpen has been known to blow a lead or two recently.
Yeah, but should have an advantage in pitching as far as starters go.
Seems like Todd might be on the same side as this one.
Yeah.
Jordan Lyles, 1.97 ERA
Shorty.
With a 4-1 record.
That's real.
One earned run.
Attaboy.
Each what? Of his last three starts.
One!
Going against Antonio Sanzatella.
Yeah, Antonio.
For the Rockies, who has a 4.9 ERA. Just a pitching mismatch, and the Buccos, they've lost their first two in this series. The Rockies, they are not a team that's going to let you just sweep them.
Oh, no way,
especially when they're playing at PNC.
Oh, no sweep Thursday.
And Josh Bell's hitting balls into the mon. Okay,
no sweep Thursday.
So we are going with the Pittsburgh Pirates first five money line. Got it.
Got it.
Todd, rainouts yesterday. Go. I know it's going to be the same.
My best bet is the rainouts. The Twins first five money line. At LA against the Angels. We love the Twins in the first five, and they are starting Martin Perez.
Uh-huh.
The Angels are starting Matt Haney, who's 2-3, 6.35 ERA. He'll get fucking shelled.
Hold on one second. Matt Harvey.
Harvey. Sorry, my bad.
The Dark Knight.
I read so fast.
The Dark Knight, by the way, is 2-3 with almost a 7 ERA. I love it.
Yeah, he's going to get shelled. Matt Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Can I add on to a couple stats?
Sure.
Twins, fourth against righties. The Angels, 30th. That is dead last in the league against lefties.
Mm.
So just a little add on there for your Twins money line bet.
And I actually have a friend named Matt Haney, so.
I get it, Todd.
Partially explains.
Gorms, what do you got for your best bet?
Best bet is a disabling. Kawhi Leonard limping into Milwaukee.
We're going to the NBA.
Limping into Milwaukee for my best bet of the night. And, boys, I tell you what, could get pretty ugly tonight
in
Milwaukee.
So?
Yes, home cooking all day. I'm not going to go into dissertations. They've got more bodies. They've got faster horses. They're at home. Kawhi is hurting. Take the Bucks covering the 6.5. That is my best bet of the night.
Okay, let's just get right into NBA since it is tonight. You think there's any chance they do a hack of Giannis?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think. Like, because he's not afraid to...
Airball from the free throw line?
That, but like, as we talked about, if he would have been hit with coins instead of olives, it would have been a big difference in this series. But he hasn't stopped driving the lane. If I was Toronto, like, I mean, I'd foul him every time.
Yeah, put him in the line.
I mean, you got a lot of big bodies. You got Gasol, you got Ibaka, you got fucking Ikem.
Hack the Greek.
Iakam, whatever the fuck
Pascal
his name.
Pascal Siakam.
There it is. Maybe, you know, that's 15 fouls right there you got to give. I would put him at the line. I mean, it worked. It was the only way to stop Shaq. I mean, Shaq and Giannis are not the same player at all. But when the dude has airballed two free throws in his last two games and is shooting 50% from the line, something to think about. But also, on the other hand, the trend of the year has been Milwaukee Bucks after a loss, even though it didn't work last game. So they're still 21-3 and something, 21-2 straight up after a loss, blah, blah, blah.
They lost game four by 18 points. And that's correct. Only happened 7 times this year. And they've lost in their last 6 prior to that. They have won the following game every time.
Every single time.
So I don't know how you go against that.
So you're on the Bucks train as well.
I am on the Bucks train.
Do you have anything else for that game tonight? Totals, anything like that?
I don't. I don't trust the totals at this stage in the game. I want to go unders, you know, the later it gets in
not
series.
A high number.
It's not a high number, so I'm not going to fucks with it. I'm just going to assume that the Bucks are going to win this one by 12, 13 points.
Okay. I'm going to be on that side as well. I just can't go against them again.
Well, role players play well at home, right?
Correct.
We saw that in game 2, and I think you're going to see a repeat of that.
Yes.
Here, that core group for the Bucks is going to get a lot of help.
1,000%. Gorms, how do you feel about Drake going on the court and shit like that? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You're cool with it?
Go ahead, yeah.
I don't like it.
Budenholzer's got a point. It's like if he was at a rock concert and he stood up and next on the stage and started rubbing the shoulders of the lead singer, he'd probably get bounced out. That's the analogy he made, and it makes sense. But, he's an ambassador. He's paid by the club. He has an office there. And if they let him get away with it, go right ahead. But quite frankly, it's entertaining.
Well, it's a throwback to Jack Nicholson in the heyday of the Lakers.
Wasn't on the court.
Oh, he would go on the court. Mm-hmm. He would do the choking thing. You know, he would do a lot of crazy shit. But I'm here to tell you this.
Younger.
You're not Jack Nicholson. You will never be Jack Nicholson. So maybe stay in the area of your fucking seat.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I like when...
And by the way, Tony,
I like when, like, Spike and Reggie would get into it. Like, that was fun. But, like...
Tony, he's chirping at the opposition all the time because he knows most of them anyway.
Yeah,
I would like that if I'm in the Toronto locker room. I'm like, yeah, I want this guy in the court.
Toronto loves it. Yeah, fucking Toronto loves it because
now if he's in Milwaukee tonight, there may be an issue.
No, that's not happening. You don't walk into Milwaukee and fucking get out of there. Get a fucking glass beer bottle upside the fucking head.
Or a bratwurst, yeah.
The bratwurst isn't gonna hurt, Jeff.
Yeah, but it could cuff you in the ear.
You know what? All right, let's move on to the Major League of Baseball's. All my two picks are already taken.
Okay.
I gave the Buccos as my best bet, and then my other pick today was Twins money line, which Todd gave his as his best bet. Do either of you two have any other baseball picks?
Toto,
I do.
Okay,
I do.
What do you got?
I have the Detroit money line versus Miami. Miami's on a 5-game win streak, so they're due fucking dump one.
Bad team.
The Tigers are starting Matt Boyd with a 3.41 ERA. The perfect guy to help in their 8-game losing streak. I think it happens tonight, Detroit.
Nice. Are you going full game or first 5?
Full game.
Full game for on the Detroit Tigers. Is that your only other pick for tonight?
No.
What else?
I have the Yanks, first 5 money line at Baltimore.
Okay.
The Yanks are hot.
So they
got Tanaka on the mound versus Dylan Bundy, who's 2-5, 4.66 ERA. That ain't going to cut it.
Nope. No, it's not.
And then I got Boston, first 5 money line at Toronto. Boston is 7th in the league in runs scored in the first 5 innings. Toronto is 26th. That's pretty much all you need to know for this one because Boston starter Ryan Weber has a 1.13 ERA and only 8 innings pitched.
Yeah, that's scary.
I get that.
Bit.
But the Blue Jays are 29th in the league batting against right-handers. So I definitely give him the advantage
here. Did you know that,
here.
Gorms?
I did.
Oh, you didn't know that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so you're on that side too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, they're going against Clayton Richard. Who the fuck's this guy? 5.33 ERA. Get the fuck out.
All right, who you got, Gorms?
Okay, here we go, Tony. Now, this is me. I'm going to two-team tease here. Now, this is a parlay that I'm going to play
We're
a money line
do
on
a
both.
Two-team
you don't
teaser?
Have to put this in the Coffee a Cup a Day
yeah,
parlay.
I'm not going to put a two-team teaser in the parlay.
I understand, but my first one, Todd has already talked about. I am on Minnesota and Martin Perez on the road at the Angels, the red-hot Minnesota Twins. Currently, they're -130. I like them to win the game outright. Over nine, I know, Todd, you like that. Over nine or first five?
I got first five.
First five,
yeah,
which is fine with me. And my second one, I am going up to the Bay Area, and I am putting my hard-earned coins on Madison Baumgartner against the Bravos, okay? A notorious slow starter.
Don't like it.
Okay, and Baumgartner. Notorious. And then he starts cooking a little bit. Then the weather gets nice. We're almost in June, boys. Here we go. I'm taking Baumgartner, who's currently 3-4 with a 4.21 ERA against Kevin Gausman, who's 2-3 for the Bravos and 4.31. So there's going to be some runs scored. I like Madison winning at home. Those are my two baseball picks.
I just don't know if that's the right pick.
Tony, Jeff. Really, to be honest with you, no one asked you. I mean, not anyone in this room asked you.
Well, I guess we'll see. You haven't had a great series with the Giants and the Braves
so far. No, I have not. But Madison Baumgartner, future Hall of Famer. Yes, I said it, Todd.
Hey, I'm going to say this. I give you a lot of respect. Your sports knowledge is very, very good.
But it's just my gambling is horrible.
It's unmatched.
And I'm going to say right now that I'm going to call that game Braves 9-2 with the fucking win.
Hold on one second, because I thought I saw this, and I wanted to look it up. So Madison Baumgartner is a lefty, correct?
Yes, sir.
Let's see.
He also hits bombs, don't forget.
Let's see how the Atlanta Braves do against lefties. Oh, they're fifth in the league against lefties.
Nine runs.
Oh, Jesus.
Easy call.
And the Giants are...
Easy call.
The Giants are going against a righty, and the Giants happen to be in the bottom three against a righty.
Add them up, Tony.
Doesn't look good.
Why are you guys bullying on me today? I gave you the white caps yesterday.
Well,
I mean, it was a layup.
I mean, but what if?
And you're lucky the WNBA didn't start tonight. It starts tomorrow, Todd, because I am already sniffing out some jewels there.
I can't wait to get a fucking Mercury pick.
You're
out
getting
there.
It.
Wait a minute. There's somebody knocking on the door. Let me open it real quick. What is it? Oh, it's science. It's science that says the stats don't support your pick.
It's like, what if somebody's listening to the show for the first time today?
Hey, do what you do. It's your money, not mine.
And they're making a mistake, and they're just taking our picks without even doing their own research, which we've said many times would be a mistake. Just take our what we give you and look into it a little more and see if you agree.
Yeah, because what he's saying is I'm making a gut pick. This is my
oh,
from
this
my
is a
gut
pick.
There's nothing.
Are we still in the Braves and Giants?
Yeah,
guys, the Braves are not a great team. I understand your stats and everything, but we're talking about the home Hall of Famer at home, Madison Baumgartner.
He's done.
He's not done. Don't you dare say that about Madison.
I mean,
Baum.
I used to love him, big country
don't
guy,
you
but
dare say that.
He's fucking carried him the World Series.
Okay,
but
I tell you what, we will make a little bet with inside.
He's lost the juice.
A full blown apology from both of you when this hits.
Deal.
All right.
As
whoever
I will flip.
I'll buy you lunch.
I'll
buy you lunch.
Here's the bet. Whoever loses has to do tomorrow's episode of Bro Bets in their underwear.
No, I'm not doing
it. No pants. You set in your underwear for the entire
show. I'll buy you lunch.
I'm out on the nudity.
You want to do a lunch bet on it?
We'll do lunch, yeah. I'll be more than happy to buy you guys some Shapiro's
deli. You're an asshole.
It won't happen, though.
All right. Those are our picks and stats and info for the day. But
how about
you
have to go to Shapiro's Deli in your underwear?
It is our pleasure now to
be. Yeah, this is a pleasure. I had a lot of fun today. Thanks, guys.
It is
bunch
our
of
pleasure.
Jerks.
It is. God damn it. It is our pleasure now that we welcome our guest. On the phone now, we have a Vegas legend.
Oh, he is a legend.
The CEO and founder of Pregame.com.
Let's go.
Let me tell you a little bit about Pregame.com. It is the largest sports betting media company in the USA. It is the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Mm. Forbes called this man the gambling guru and has been deemed a Las Vegas maven by USA Today.
A maven.
The former columnist for ESPN.com and Grantland. We are proud
and, by the way,
and honored to welcome the one and only Mr. Oh, wait, and on Ballers.
Yep.
Forgot to do that.
He's on Ballers. He's got a great radio only show on Fox, too. Yep.
All right, Gorm, would you want to do it
no,
or me?
No, I'm just, I got to give my guy some props here.
The one and only RJ Bell on Twitter at RJ in Vegas.
Well, listen, I'm not sure how I can do better, so I thank you guys, and we'll talk again soon. Oh.
Well, so, like, I've known you for a long time, RJ. I used to listen to call-in on ESPN Radio, and you would call in. I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, and he would do his five picks. And that's where I originally learned about you, and I've learned about you since. So you are actually, like, I think of you as one of the pioneers of the gambling media industry. Would you agree with that, that you are?
Well, first off, if we look at it as in just generally who has been well-known, you know, you got to go back to Jimmy the Greek.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And to this day, as much as I aspire, and who knows, one day maybe, I mean, Jimmy the Greek, I'm not even sure how you quantify how big he was. Because think about it. It's been, what, almost, you know, 30-plus years mm-hmm. for him since he got fired, and still we say the name Jimmy yeah. the Greek, and everybody knows. Now, after him, what happened in the 90s, in the late 80s, a lot of people who were marketers first, and then they would mm-hmm. have, like, a show on the USA Network, and like a Jim Feist type, Wayne Root type, and then they usually had boiler rooms, which was the outbound calls and high pressure, and two for the money, a movie Pacino yep. was in, McConaughey, is a decent representation, I think, of the truth of that time. So there was a handful of famous guys there, but it was all because they had enough money to buy themselves on the TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, we're familiar with that because we've actually talked to Stu, and who else was portrayed in Two for the Money?
Brandon Lang.
Yeah, Brandon Lang. We had those two on. So yeah.
Okay. What was your impression?
So Stu, I love Stu. Stu is an electric guy, but and Brandon, how do we say this? He's a little over the top.
A little bit.
But.
He's a big fan of Brandon Lang.
Yeah, yes, sure. You could tell how both of those they seem like boiler room guys, like you said, the outbound call guys who they'll leave you voicemails, giving your picks and things like. They seem like that type of guy. If that makes sense,
for sure. And the irony is, and I think Wolf of Wall Street on the stock market side, when it came to the outbound stuff, is the guys who become the leaders in that space are often super intelligent and with a lot of charisma. Mm-hmm. That's how they are so good at it. But unfortunately, they, you know, and again, not talking about anyone in particular, allegedly, let's just say this. I've been in Vegas 21 years, and I was started here in 98. I was just at the end of that era, mm-hmm. and I can tell you this, the shenanigans, and that's probably not the right word, the fraud that went on was egregious, because it's one thing to bet and lose, and if you're compulsive, maybe you're going to have a problem, just like eating pizza or Michigan fans.
Uh-oh.
I'm not, you know, that kind of stuff can get overboard. But if someone's telling you, you know, mortgage the house, give me $20,000, and then bet $80,000 on the game, you can get into life-changing trouble over a weekend.
Now with the industry and it becoming legal in so many states, do you think those type of guys will be weeded out? Like, because I follow guys like you who aren't like that, and I listen to VSiN a lot with Musburger, guys who have been around a long time and who more of like the odds makers and things like that. I feel personally that they are going to grow more with the legalization of gambling more than the boiler room type of guys.
Yeah, to be honest, the boiler room guys started suffering as early as 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened was, and just think about it, is prior to the internet and people being on the internet en masse, if you got ripped off, what would you do if you weren't a media guy or you weren't a millionaire? You would tell your buddies. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's five of them. Maybe there's 10 of them. And those 10, 15, maybe even people wouldn't probably buy from scammer X. Uh-huh. Now today, or even in 2001, 2002, if you got ripped off, you could tell posting forms, and then later with social media, your followers. So the ability to just lie and be deceptive is a lot harder in any industry now because it's so easy for the word to spread. And I also think that's benefited people like me, and I'll say the people trying to do it the right way. I'll give you a quick example. You know, really, I was doing pretty well here in Vegas, playing a lot of poker, doing well with my betting, also was providing some information. But then in 2007, if I recall, there was the Tim Donahue scandal. Mm-hmm. You guys may remember.
Sure, NBA ref.
Yes, and I did some original reporting on that, and literally in a 10-day period, I was on Nightline, I was on CBS This Morning, and I mean, just SportsCenter. I went from no media to by far the most media I had in any 10-day period. Uh-huh. And what I did, I think, that was pretty smart at the time, was I really tried to cultivate the relationships with the producers and such. And then I was super, super available. And, you know, Jeffrey, for example, and his cousin had, in my mind, a great show on Fox.
Thank you.
I was a fan. And, you know, I think Jeffrey would make the case what did we do, almost 3 years of hits?
4 years, yeah. A little over 4 years because we got you in the first year there, yeah.
And I would ask you with a smile, how many times did I miss a hit?
Never.
Yeah, I mean, maybe once, I don't know. So what I did real now, obviously that's a big national hit. I was honored to be on it, but I was at the beginning, especially waking up at 4:45 in the morning doing hits in some small Connecticut station.
Right.
Now I promise that's not happening today. but the fact of the matter is, I understood the following: that the biggest challenge was going to be to have people forget, or at least put you in a different category than those old time scammers. And to me, if you could find the endorsement of the media, mm-hmm. and just like you said, oh, I heard you on Colin. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you would have liked it, maybe you didn't, it sounds like you liked it, but no one could say, wow, I bet Colin has a scammer on.
Right, correct.
So to me, the media was a way to be assessed on my content's merit as opposed to the history of the industry.
Have you noticed yet, with the legalization, a notice on like the action on pregame.com or anything like that? Have you felt it yet, as far as an uptick or anything?
For sure. But what's been, let's call that 20%, 30%. So, relatively modest. Here's what's been gigantic. I've been, as I said, 21 years in Vegas. I've been in the bubble. So I'm not saying anyone has experienced this, maybe, but let's say you're around a bunch of buddies that smoke weed, mm-hmm. right? And let's say this is before any states had it legal. Well, if you're around those guys for a couple years, or let's say 21 years smoking weed, all of a sudden you're going to feel like weed's almost legal, right? It's like, hey, we smoke it every day, or I see people smoke. I've been gambling, I've been in Vegas for so long, I kind of was in the echo chamber. I knew it wasn't legal in other states, mm-hmm. and I thought, oh, who's not gambling if they want to?
Right.
Well, maybe with the individuals that was the case, but for the most part.
Yeah.
But with the companies, oh my gosh, the amount of serious billion-dollar companies who want to be involved, and we've seen Fox is going to have their own app that not only that doesn't necessarily provide gambling info, but rather you can bet through it.
Right.
Imagine that would have been impossible before. So to me, it's about the billion-dollar companies and the leagues themselves now embracing it.
That is RJ Bell from Vegas, our buddy. And, yeah, I've known you for a while, but now you're a friend of the show. RJ, a lot of people out there ask me, and I can't give – you've told me this, but, of course, it gets foggy. But the most interesting thing that you told me, one of the most, is I asked you, who are the guys, the girls, the ladies, the group? It doesn't matter. Who sets these lines? For instance, the Braves are -115 on the road at San Francisco today. Minnesota on the road, -130. The Bucks are -6.5 tonight against Toronto. Who sets those lines, RJ? Where does it come from?
Okay, so there's two answers. One is, at a given moment, there's no line on a given event. So let's say Milwaukee, Game 5, whoever wins at some point after that game, or immediately after, there may not be a line, and then maybe 20 minutes later, maybe an hour later, is what we call the world opener. So that means of all the different sports books there are, and probably the best way to think about that is think about all the different fast food joints. There's McDonald's, Taco Bell, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, there's MGM, there's Caesars, there's go up and down the list, right? Mm-hmm. Someone, one of those books, is going to decide, hey, we're not going to wait for someone else to open. We've been waiting. We're going to open it up. At that point, Jeffrey, that number is coming from, obviously, the individual book that opens up. But that number probably ends up getting less than 1% of the total handle on that event. So what happens is once the first number goes up, maybe the other books wait 15, 20 minutes, and then there's a wave of 5, 6, 7 others that go up. And then other books wait an hour or two. Now, why are they waiting? Because they want the line to be shaped up. Mm-hmm. They could imagine that there's a mistake made. Well, the world opener sports book is going to pay the price for that when the professionals pound them on one side or the other because the line was wrong. If you want to be safe as a book, you wait till there's about 10 books that's opened up. You wait till it's been 3, 4, 5 hours since it opened, and you can feel pretty good the line has settled down, and then that's when the other books open. So eventually, at the end of this little comment, is that the day of the game itself, let's say in the NFL, is that line isn't really about what the odds maker said 6 days ago. That line is about the consensus opinion of all the bettors in the world. So my adage is, I can beat odds makers. If you force one group to put up 100 games, I'm going to find 5 that they made a mistake on. Mm-hmm. But come Sunday, when every million-dollar syndicate has had a chance to bet into the game, the line is so much sharper, which is really saying it's more accurate.
So me, personally, if I'm an odds maker, I don't take liability early. Is it frowned upon? Like, I feel like I would never be the first one with a line. I would wait for Westgate, MGM, William Hill, Caesars. I'd wait for them all to put up their lines. I'd see where the money goes and see where the line falls, and then make my line. Is that frowned upon? Is there no?
Well, like, first off, the whole frowned upon, like anything, rock music, poker, wrestling, even professional wrestling. You have the purist, right? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Vince McMahon's a billionaire, mm-hmm. and you got people saying, yeah, but Georgia Championship Wrestling in 1983 with Gordon Soley, that was the real wrestling. And you know, to me, it's not about what the 200 people that consider themselves the arbiters of what's right and wrong in sports betting. I don't know. You know, they're going to frown upon that probably. But the question is, every minute that you wait, you're losing action.
Correct.
So the question is, are you going to be profitable if you were the world opener? If so, you should open up first because mm-hmm. you're going to make money doing it. If you think you can be profitable opening up, let's say, in the second wave. So each book's got to decide, and it often varies in each sport.
Yeah.
Right. So the Westgate, who in my opinion is probably a little overrated in many ways, they do a very good job with golf, mm-hmm. meaning they're as ambitious as anyone with golf, and also with Super Bowl props, they're the best. So on one way, I'm not a big fan of Westgate. On the other, you got to give them their due when it comes to Super Bowl props and golf. And you can go up and down the list of sports, and there's going to be different books that tend to open up first.
Do you do their Super Contest?
You know, last year, they had their $5,000 Super Contest, and with 2 weeks to go, we were tied for first place.
RJ! That's a big payday.
I mean, it was 640K, and unfortunately, we didn't. It was winner take all. We didn't win, but we ended up like 65% on the season, so quite strong.
Not terrible. So yeah, I know you're a big football
Not
guy.
Not terrible. I don't know what shenanigans you guys are pulling. Hey. This needs to be said.
You didn't understand the sarcasm of my voice. I know what 65% is.
But I gotta say, professional batters, the kind of guys that don't work literally a straight job, hit 55% of the time. Mm-hmm. A drunk baby flipping coins hits 50%. Literally in 20 games, a drunk baby flipping coins is expected to win 10 games. And Steve Fezzik, for example, our best NFL guy, the only guy at pregame.com, he's at pregame.com, the only guy ever to win two Super Contests, he hits 11 out of 20, 55%. That's it. And anyone telling you, and obviously you guys don't do that, anyone telling you that they can hit 60-plus, run the other way. Now, real quick caveat. In a short period of time, like we did during one NFL season, you could hit 65% easy. Not easy, but you can do it. But over the long run, it's impossible.
All right, so this one's for our listeners. I know you're a football guy, but so like this time of year, What's your daily routine? Do you look up, do you get up and look at MLB lines? Do you look at NBA lines? What's your daily for our gamblers? If you're giving them advice this time of year, do you have any?
Well, let me talk about quickly my routine, and then we can talk about how other bettors can take advantage of this time of year.
Beautiful.
So, we do have now a Fox Radio show 5 days a week. On the national network.
Straight out of Vegas, baby.
Straight out of Vegas. And by the way, Jeffrey, open invite. You got something you're passionate about? Text me and you're on, baby.
Yeah, but I want my steak. You still owe me a steak. It's over 2.5 years old now. That's what I want more than anything from you.
Well, then get your butt to Vegas. I mean, I know you don't like to leave Tennessee, right?
Close. Indianapolis.
Well, he was
I was
Tennessee.
In Tennessee, yeah.
Oh, you moved. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, at some point get west of the Mississippi and come get a steak. So what I tend to do is, what do people want to talk about and hear about? Because the reality is, if I, let's say, started handicapping some niche baseball game that no one was interested in, and then I wasn't as well informed for the radio show, which is on 200 stations, I wouldn't be doing a service to my listener. So, quite frankly, for me, in the non-NFL season, I'm pretty much betting guys I trust. Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple guys at pregame with a long history of winning, a guy like Fezzik, and pretty much he's putting in the stuff for me, and I know the picks, and I settle up with him once a week. Now, during football, I'm handicapping the card voraciously. So now, if you're an NBA fan, then focus on the NBA. If you're a baseball fan, do that. But here's the trick. If you're betting more than one sport at a time and you're doing it with only your information, it's almost impossible to win. Mm-hmm. You've got to be a specialist. And if I could give any advice to, let's say, an aspiring winner, let's say someone hasn't won yet long term, but they want to badly, you pick one conference in college football, literally pick the Mountain West, pick the Pac-12, and only bet that conference. And what happens is, think about it for a second. You're listening to every post-game show. You're reading the school papers. You got the beat writers on your Twitter feed. You're going to know more about the Pac-12 than the odds makers do, because they got to do all the teams. Right. So to me, whatever you do, if you want to win, specializing is key.
Nice. RJ, I have a question for you. Like for the common man, your average better just out there, your blow Joe, your Joe Blow.
So like Jeffrey.
Yeah, like Jeffrey.
Thank you guys.
Is buying points for suckers.
Here's the thing. Yes.
Okay.
Now, there is a niche answer. If you can buy on or off a 7 for a dime, which really has died now, it 7's worth about 11 cents. So it's the one situation that you could say, oh, you're making a penny off it.
What about a 3?
Now, I will caveat it, though. If you're the type who's going to be, let's say, for example, the buying on the 6, in the NFL now, let's say buying on a 6 is worth 7 cents, which I 7 or 8 cents, I think that's a fair assessment. You're paying a dime. So in a way, what you're asking me is, should I pay 10 cents for something worth 7 cents? Now, obviously, the mathematical answer is no. But if you're the type, if that game falls 6, that you're going to have massive angst that you didn't buy that, and it's going to cause you maybe to go on tilt, then it would make sense to pay 2 cents, let's say, of negative EV in order to prevent a catastrophe.
Sure.
So I usually, you know, mathematically, no, but if you're that weak-minded, and I say that with a smile, maybe you should do it.
RJ, I got to ask about win totals in the NFL real quick. Something like Pittsburgh Steelers. They took 18.
Way over.
They took 18 touchdowns out of their offense, and he's now in Oakland. When they come up with these team totals way early before the season kicks off, what goes into that? Is it just about 4 or 5 players on the roster? Or, I mean, hell, they don't even know if some of these draft picks are going to make the team yet.
Well, I think in general the draft only matters if you have a team who has a lot more picks like New England did this year. Because I think historically what we could say is at best you could maybe make 3 categories of front offices, above average, average, and below average. But the difference between even them is pretty modest. Meaning take Big Ben away from Pittsburgh, and I know they've drafted well, DeCastro's this and Pouncey's that, but how many games would Pittsburgh be winning with an average quarterback,
4,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, as much as we can exalt certain front offices, I think in general these are all professionals, and it's almost like target practice. If one team has 7 bullets and the other team has 14 and they're about the same shot, well, I expect the 14 shooter to have more bullseyes. Other than that, ignore the draft, I think. But what they do, Jeffrey, is they do account for all known information. So you're right. A player could get hurt. There could be a trade. Who knows what? But as those things happen, as the information becomes available, then the line changes. Now, if you do like Pittsburgh and you're optimistic, I got a bet I like even better.
Go ahead.
I like Pittsburgh at plus 200, 2-1, to win the division. Because what that allows me to do is both be long or pro-Pittsburgh, which I am, I think, this season. And when I say I think, it is early. Mm-hmm. And then it lets me fade 2 teams I don't like, which is, I think Cleveland's way overrated right now. And I think that Baltimore is going to struggle because with Lamar Jackson, a whole offseason of the defense coordinator seeing the limited abilities of him passing, I think you're going to see a big drop-off with the novelty offense of Baltimore in season number 2.
Couldn't agree more, RJ, and we thank you so, so much for your time. I would love to hear, Gorms, on your national Fox show to 200 stations pushing this podcast.
Hot streak coming.
Not a bad idea.
Hot streak coming, RJ.
Go. RJ.
All right, well, listen, here's what we'll do. When Jeffrey comes, what we'll do is I'll have Jeffrey talk to my producer and make sure what he wants to say is up to quality.
It's probably not.
If it is, he'll come on, and I'll happily promote the show. By the way, speaking of podcasts, you know, Straight Out of Vegas has a pod.
Yes,
yeah, but we have the Dream Preview, which this week went 2.5 hours breaking down the NBA. So on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, you can get all that stuff.
Hey, RJ, real quick before I let you go, Golden State or the field, who do you like from here on out?
Well, I mean, considering the fact the field is just 2 teams,
exactly.
You know, I'm still going with Golden State. Guys, can I say one thing 60 seconds?
Please.
Say as much as you want. We got as much time as you need.
I want to say this sincerely because I really didn't get a chance to on air, and I will if Jeffrey comes on my show, is, you know, him and his cousin treated me as well as anyone could. I mean, think about it. His cousin is, you know, played at Wembley Stadium, right? A very successful guy musically. Treated me like, I mean, when my grandfather passed away, called me personally, also with Jeffrey, you know, saying, hey, Jeffrey said, you know, condolences too. And when the business side went down and they left the network and I came in at the same time period, literally both of them reached out and said good luck. I mean, I've been around a lot of people over, you know, I'm 48 years old. Jeffrey and Steve are as nice as people are, and it really touched me, and I wanted to say that.
Oh, thank you, RJ. It means awesome. A lot. That's
and,
that is. That's
and we
awesome.
We couldn't agree more.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I get buried here daily, RJ.
it's out of love.
All right, guys, out reach out anytime.
Thanks RJ. So much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was RJ Bell.
Good guy.
Okay. Great guy. He's been in the industry a long, long time. Like I said, he's one of the more respected guys in the industry. Go check him out, pregame.com, at RJ in Vegas on
Twitter.
He's
a big-time poker player. I mean, he's a Texas Hold'em guy, and he's got some great stories that one day we'll get him on here that I'm talking with all the greats that he's been at the tables at. It's real fun.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, great guy. All right, so we got one thing left to do.
Let's do it.
It's our cup of coffee a day parlay. We'll give it to you every single day. We've been hot lately. We won one within the last 7 days. We've come within one game. We're hot right now.
Let's
just know that. We've got a $5 parlay for us.
All right.
Six teams.
Six teamers. All there right. It is. Five, all six. Go.
All the odds just updated too. First five Pirates minus 140.
Tony.
First five Twins minus 145.
Tato.
Bucks minus 7. Yourself. You're just going to leave yourself out of that?
Gorms.
Yeah, Gorms.
Well, we're all on it.
Yeah, Detroit Tigers minus 150. Todd.
Tato.
Yes, sir.
New York Yankees, first five.
I like it.
Who was that? Todd or Gorms?
Tato.
That was me.
And the Boston Red Sox, first five. Todd. Did I miss anyone? Did I miss any of yours, Gorms?
Yeah, Madison Baumgartner.
Oh, I forgot.
No, but hold on.
You got so
busy.
But hold on. Here's my caveat.
Was that a money? Was that a game?
It was, but you know what? I'm already on the Minnesota train with Todd.
No.
So
we're putting
it on.
You
can take it out. No, I don't want to get
your gut.
Guys,
Jeffrey.
I am. My gut's already going.
Science doesn't always win.
I know, but I'm just trying to not get buried by YouTube jerks tomorrow.
That's just how the show goes.
Think about the burying you
can. I knew I was forgetting one of yours.
Yes. Put it on.
Now it's a 7-team parlay.
There you go.
Trust your gut.
$5 to win $245.
That ain't bad.
That ain't bad at all, my
friends. Buys a couple of tacos, buys a couple of steaks.
Not a bad little episode. Yep. Once again, we thank RJ Bell. We thank all of you listeners. We thank the Action Network and Bet Labs for our new toys.
Mm-hmm. Science.
Science. Follow us. Tweet us. We love you. Good luck.
Good luck.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.